www.ecc.com.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, for this morning, I'm going to need two volunteers, two somewhat brave, hopefully young volunteers who don't mind getting their hands a little bit messy. One. I need one more. Oh, you got to play those later on. That's all right. Come on up anyway. Now, you might want to roll your sleeves up a little for this. Come on, give him a hand. Give him a hand. Okay. So, you both get a tube of toothpaste, okay? And you can open them up and take the tube out. All right, now is there a little, we should check, is there a little poppy thing in there? No? All right, perfect, because I didn't plan for that. Okay, so we're going to have a little competition between the two of you. And Haley's going to play some cool, fun music in the background while it goes on. That's all right. She's gonna wing it. I asked her about this like 15 seconds ago, so because I'm a planner. And and so we're going to have a competition. Your goal is to eliminate all of the toothpaste from the tube into the bowl, please. That would be ideal. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? It can even just be bum, 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 whatever you want to do. Okay, on your mark. Get set. Go! Come on, cheer them on. You got to get it all out. Get it all out. I got front row seat for this, sort of. Who is going to be our winner? I'll judge it based on who does the best job getting it all out. Or the fastest, you know, if you're done before the other person. Yeah, and by the way, at the end, if anybody needs some extra toothpaste to take home, we got, are we close? Are we close? All right, well, that was, okay, we can cut for a second. That was really close to a tie. So that's okay. We're going to have a little tiebreaker. The tiebreaker is whoever can get it back in the tube the fastest. Ready, go. No, you can't break the tube. That's cheating. How's that going for you? They got a system. It's not really working. All right. All right. We'll pause it here. I won't make you go through this whole thing. I want to ask you real quick. Which of those things do you think was easier? Yeah. Probably pouring it out than putting it back in. Okay. First of all, give them both a hand. Second of all, we're going to come back to this later on. So thank you for helping illustrate a point. You can set that down, and here you go. Wipes for both of you. You don't have to wipe the toothpaste off. Just stick it in there. Thank you, though. You good? All right, excellent. Okay. Again, we'll come back to this later on. You're going to remember this illustration. You can may even see where this is going. But last week, we looked at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And Paul kind of answered a question. He didn't actually state the question, but as we read through it, we discovered that it kind of answered the question of how do I know that my faith is really enough? Right? If you missed that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it because it really helps us think about when we have doubts, when we have fears. Am I really going to get into heaven? Is he really going to let me in? How do I know my faith is really enough? So that's kind of an unwritten question that Paul answered last week. And this week he's answering another question. And again, this is not really a question that's written in the text, but it is a question that he answers by what he talks about. And the question is along this lines, how does all this work? Right? Like, how is it possible that one man, through his death, can make everyone who believes right with God? Like, wouldn't there have to be, like, one Jesus for everybody? For, you know, like, there's got to be one Jesus for each individual person? Or how does this work? In other words, here's kind of our question. How can only one man's death save everyone? Right? How can only one man's death save everyone? So kind of keep that question in mind as we work through the passage, okay? So we're going to look at Romans 5, 12 through 21. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read it through, and then as we work through it, the verses will be up on the screen. Paul writes, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for just the depth to which you have done amazing things for us. We pray as we dive into this text this morning that it would challenge us, that it would that the message this morning and the things that I share would accurately reflect your heart, and that we would just really come to see what an incredible thing you've done and how you've accomplished it. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right, so first thing, as we work through this, first thing that Paul points out is that death is the result of sin. Verse 12, he says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned," right? Kind of mid-thought stops that verse. First real point is death came through sin, right? Death came through sin. Before sin, think about this, before sin there was no death. Without sin there would be no death. This, of course, goes back to when sin first entered the picture, which we read about in Genesis. Adam and Eve enjoyed fellowship with God and are in right standing with Him at the start, but with only one rule in place. Don't eat the fruit. They disobey God. And sin entered the picture. And it caused this rift between God and mankind. It was a rift that God didn't want to exist forever. So as part of the curse, death was now in play. Right? So death came through sin. And I want you to think really hard. That seems like just a statement that we can absorb, that we can let penetrate, and we can go, yeah, I believe that to be true. But I want you to think really hard about that statement as a spiritual statement, because it has some pretty big implications, spiritual and practical. Death came through sin. If you believe death came into the world through the sin of mankind, you're going to have a hard time reconciling that truth with, say, the theory of evolution. A lot of people try to make them fit together. A lot of people will hold to this idea that, well, science is fact and the Bible account is still truth, but it isn't meant to be literal. It explains creation in a metaphorical way. And the point is to show how sin entered the picture. Maybe God's creation took place over a long period of time. Like each day was millions of years or something like that. And it makes sense that we try to make these things fit together because that way science and creation can play nice with each other, right? That way we can affirm scientific theories, which most people choose to believe in, and yet still hold to the truth of Scripture. That way we can believe in God and not sound totally crazy in our society. But let's consider for a second not just the creation account, but what Paul writes here in Romans. Death came through sin. That means nothing died until man and woman existed. There would be no need for natural selection or adaptation because every animal who ever lived would still be alive until sin entered the picture. So according to scientific theory, the first living animal was a comb jelly, was around 600 million years ago. Again, that's the theory. It'd be tough to fit these things together. That means the very first comb jelly was 598 million years old before sin entered the picture. Then it could have died. It's tough to fit these things together, right? And all this is to say, I'm not trying to pick apart every argument here, but all this is to say, if we believe the truth, the spiritual truth that Paul writes about here, that death came through sin, has pretty huge implications, right? He says, death came through sin, and so death spread to all men, all people, because all sinned, right? And the next point is death came through sin, and sin spread to all. Death came through sin, and sin spread to all. It's easy for us to see that every person has chosen to sin against God. Like we're sinners by choice. You can't look at one person and say, yep, they did life, all perfect. But we're also sinners by nature. Right? We have a natural inclination to sin. Like given the choice to do God's will or do our own thing, we will naturally choose to do our own thing, ultimately. Right? This sinful nature affects everyone and has been passed along to us since the fall, as in it's something we're born with, right? Psalm 51:5 says this, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's David speaking, right? Like even infant children who have no opportunity to know what sin is or act sinful in any way, they die. And it's tragic and it's sad. Some die in the first few seconds of life. Some die in the womb. Why? Why? Because we have a sinful nature. And death came through sin. Right? Not only do we do sinful things, but we are sinful beings. Like we have this sinful nature that has been imparted to us through the sin of Adam and Eve. Like, yes, we are image bearers too. We've got to affirm that. We are created in the image of God, and because of that, we have this incredible value and worth, but that image has been marred, and sin has affected all of creation. Like, even when we first came into this world, taking our very first breath before we ever did any specific act that could be called sinful or wrong, there was sin in us, a sinful nature, the result of the fall. And I do think it's important that we can't just, like, go, oh, well, that's not my fault, that's Adam's fault. Or in this case, Eve as well, because she was there, you know, equality for women. What we see in Scripture and what we read about throughout all Romans is that we would all have failed that test. We all would have failed. If you were Adam or Eve, you would have done the same thing. right? So we have this sinful nature. Death came through sin, and sin spread to all men or all people. Verse 13, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Like, look, before the law was given, we still sinned against God. Right? Adam and Eve had only one rule, and they failed that, right? But before the full law was given, we might not have been able to name it, but we all still failed to measure up to God's standards. Verse 14, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. Right? Death reigned. Death is not only the result of sin, it's also the evidence that sin already existed in us. Right? There wasn't a law, a specific code in place, but if we have been born without sin and somehow accomplished not sinning in life, well, then we wouldn't die. We wouldn't need Jesus. But Paul points out that even before the law was given, death reigned, which means sin had taken over. Everyone died because everyone was sinful. And since we see death reigning from the start, sin obviously affected every person's nature, even before the law. Right? So sin and death spread through one man to all men, or through one person to all people. And then the next part of that verse says, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Right? Like maybe they didn't sin in the same way, but all have sinned. And because of that, death reigned. So death came through sin, and sin spread to all. And then the last part of that verse is talking about Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Right? And this is kind of key in getting into this question, how can one man's death save everyone? Well, Adam was a type or a foreshadowing of the Savior to come. It reflected what Jesus would accomplish. Just like sin entered the picture through one man, salvation would come also through one man. And yet his act was distinctly different. And that's kind of where Paul goes next. So verse 15 and verse 16. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification, or being declared righteous. Right? And so this is where Paul suggests that the act of one sinful man, Adam, that doomed the whole world could be undone by one righteous man, Jesus, who could save it. Right? Like one man's sin brought trouble for everyone by this careless, imperfect, ungodly act of disobedience, all of humanity was affected, and sin entered the world. It marred us all, yet one man's sacrifice brought reconciliation for everyone who would believe. By this care-filled, incredibly perfect act of obedience of Jesus, reconciliation is possible for all through faith. Right? And he says again that neither the act of Adam nor the result of his actions are the same as those of Jesus. They are opposites of one another. And I just think it's important to state the obvious, right? Adam's act was negative, but Jesus' act was positive. Adam's act was negative, Jesus' act was positive. Pretty important distinction. So verse 17 through 19. For if, because of one man's transgression, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now if you're reading through this, Paul, it seems like Paul's saying the same thing kind of over and over, slight different tweaks here. He's really contrasting the act of Adam with the act of Jesus. Right? Adam's was an act of sin and trespass and disobedience. where Jesus was an act of righteousness, obedience, and a gift of grace. Right? Very distinct acts. More importantly, the results of those acts are also very different. Adam's act brought death, condemnation, sin, and judgment. Jesus' act brought life, justification, salvation, and righteousness. Right? So Adam's act brought death, where Jesus' act brought life. Adam brought condemnation, Jesus brought justification, declared righteous. Adam brought sin, Jesus brought salvation. Adam brought judgment, Jesus brought righteousness. Right? And then he adds that if these are the things that Adam accomplished, all those things up there, and accomplished in a negative way, so much more will Jesus' act accomplish. Verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Right? Grace abounded all the more. Right? So what sin is to death, grace is to eternal life. Because of what Jesus did, we can have this eternal life through him, and that's amazing. But Paul is saying here that what sin accomplished in a negative sense, grace outdid in a positive sense. It's like grace looked at sin and said, anything you can do, I can do better. Right? I can do anything better than you. Or as Paul says, grace abounded all the more. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right, so Adam's act of sin, that was bad, had devastating effects. But Jesus' act of sacrifice was able to undo all of that for those who believe. And I think what Paul is kind of getting at here is that Jesus did the far more difficult thing. Like, it's so easy to mess something up, right? It's a lot harder to correct it. Just think of some stories of my own life of that being true. Like, I know there have been times in the past where maybe I've typed out or put together a message and it was all set to go, except for I didn't save it properly. Right? That one little mistake led to hours of having to redo something that I thought was done. You've probably had something like that happen at some point in time with a homework assignment or a thing you're working on. One of the times that I remember a small little mess up led to a lot of wasted time. I was taking Emily to school in Houghton, and if you're not familiar with the map, Houghton is pretty much straight north up 41, and eventually you're going to kind of get there a few turns. But so we loaded up the van, got ready to go, jumped in the car, headed off, and my brain was kind of on autopilot and spaced out what I was doing. And by habit, I started driving towards River Falls and UW-Stout, where my other two daughters went to school. That would be west, not north. And I realized it just before I pulled into Stevens Point. An hour later, I went, we are not going to the right school. Had to kind of Google that one. And she didn't realize it either. She's like, I didn't think about it. I didn't. Oh, yeah. A lot of wasted time. One little mistake. Think of what can happen when a person gets distracted by, say, a text message while driving. Right? It can cause serious injury to a vehicle, to property, to themselves, or someone else. It could take weeks, months, years to undo what only takes a second to cause. Might even cause permanent damage that can't be undone this side of heaven. Right? It's so easy to mess something up. It only takes a moment to do a whole lot of damage. It's so much harder to fix that damage, but that's what Jesus did. Right? While both acts affected everyone who ever lived, Jesus' act also undid the original act of Adam. And here's kind of the point there. Jesus has set right what sin made wrong. That makes what he did so much greater. I mean, let that sink in a little bit, right? Jesus has set right what sin made wrong, and it makes what he did so much greater. He was able to repair what was broken. He was able to undo what sin did. He was able to bring life to spiritually dead people. He was able to save those who were perishing. He made it possible for those who were, as we talked about last week, weak, ungodly, sinners, lawbreakers, enemies of God. He made it possible for them to be justified and declared righteous in the eyes of God. He was able to make a way for broken, fallen people to become a new creation. In other words, he was able to put the toothpaste back in the tube. Right? Everything that was undone, he was able to bring together. Jesus has set right what sin made wrong, which makes what he did so much greater. We're going to end this morning with just a song of worship. If the team wants to come back up, now's a good time to do that. And before we sing this song, I want to just take a look at the words from this chorus, because I think they are words that kind of reflect this reality. And this is admittedly one of my current favorite worship songs that we're going to sing. But the words are this: my sin was deep. And man, we can recognize that, right? We can resonate with that. Yep, my sin is deep. But your grace was deeper. Right? My shame was wide, your arms were wider. My guilt was great, your love was greater still. Jesus has set right what sin made wrong, which makes his act so much greater. Let's pray, and then we'll turn our hearts to worship through song. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the gift of Jesus. We're so thankful that he was willing to endure the cross, to be a sacrifice, to be the perfect sacrifice for us. Exactly what we needed in order to be bought back and brought back to you. When we think of how we've messed up, which sometimes it's been in just a moment of weakness. Sometimes it's been in a pattern of sin that we can't break. But you're offering forgiveness, mercy, grace, if we will turn our hearts to you and receive that. You, by your selfless, caring, loving, incredible act of love, have made a way to set things right. It's amazing what you've done. And so we turn our hearts to worship you this morning with one more song that just sings of your incredible, incredible grace that you've shown us. We want to sing it with thanks. We want to sing it in praise and adoration for all that you've done for us. It's in your name we pray these things, and in singing these words to you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together as we close with this song.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.